Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Thursday. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. Colton, what did you do to Elijah? Our intern is missing. Hope you're doing all right. Hope you're staying dry if you're in Lincoln, if you're in western Nebraska, central Nebraska, northeast Nebraska. I hope the sun is shining on you. I hope it doesn't find its way to TD Ameritrade. My God. You know, back in the day, 9 p.m. baseball was sweet. As I've aged, not so much. I did see them jump out to the 8-1 number and then drifted off to count sheep. But Husker baseball doing work. We'll spend some time on that. Also, we are loaded up today with plenty of college football to cover. We'll get caught up with Uncle Jerry, Coach Jerry DiNardo is 15 minutes away, Big Ten Network. I want to get his take on some of the alcohol topics we discussed yesterday, and not to wear that out a second day in a row, but I'd love Coach DiNardo's perspective. The guy coached at LSU for 3 years. They can get it going down on the bayou. So we'll talk with Coach DiNardo, get his reaction to PJ Flex comments that were on Football Scoop and out of the Star Tribune. And Fleck kind of coming off as a hard butt on the recruiting process. So we'll talk with Coach DiNardo. Dean Blevins, News 9 in Oklahoma City, sports animal down in Oklahoma City. Want to get his take on the Kevin Durant situation. And for years, of course, Blevins covered Durant. Durant's pettiness has gone to DEFCON 2 in his Twitter war with Chris Broussard. So we'll do a little gossip time with Blevins in 30 minutes. In hour two, we'll say hi to Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Great hot reads from Vogel on some of those trendy teams in college football, specifically bowl projections. And it is talking season, so where does Nebraska fit in? You've seen a lot of the preview magazines say, okay, Nebraska is going to be your Big Ten West winner. Great. Where are they headed in January? That's what you want to know. Does it feel like 75 years since you've been to a bowl game? It does to me. It feels like forever. But you feel like you can snap your fingers and it comes right back. And then we'll say hi to Barney. Gary Barnett with us, longtime coach at Northwestern in Colorado. Spend some time talking a little golf and football with him. Can join us 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Those are the numbers to get in. Can email Chris at HailVarsity.com. Can follow on Twitter at Schmidt underscore radio and Colton Stone at Two Birds One Stone. Can find Elijah at Herbal Essence, but don't make fun of his hair. Pretty good Twitter handle there, Elijah. So that's on the docket today. So let's start off with Nebraska baseball. They got it handled last night, and I got home from Omaha, and thanks so much for tuning in and stopping by to see us at Zipline in Omaha yesterday. Colton had his tank top on, man. It was suns out, guns out, and then it got a little chilly for him. But we had a great time. We had great folks up at Zipline and wonderful setup. Bingo was rocking. It got everyone primed up for Nebraska, Minnesota. And Nebraska did not disappoint. They got out early. They got out often. Altavilla has continued kind of his renaissance the last 3 weeks of his career, and it's much, much needed. Waldron was phenomenal. 9 strikeouts. Amazing command. And I don't know where you're at, Colton, but from a watching baseball standpoint, it's still hard to do unless you have a favorite team. My favorite team is the Lincoln Athletics. 12-year-olds grinding away, right? So that's what my weekends and weeknights look like a lot of times. So I love sitting through that baseball. When it comes to sitting down and watching a baseball game, it's a hard thing to do. but I love watching Nebraska play, and I like watching Waldron work. I mean, this is not a fair comparison, but it's what comes to my mind when I watch Waldron. And I'm going to say the name Greg Maddux, okay? And I'm going to say Greg Maddux because of ball placement, how good he is on the corners, how phenomenally he changes speeds, all right, how he didn't walk anybody. Maddux didn't ever break 90, okay? He never, maybe he hit 91 on the gun, all right, his first year or two with the Cubs. And there are some off-the-record stories about Greg Maddux that are freaking hilarious because he was the clubhouse prankster. If you ever run into Jeff Blauser, don't ask him about his toothbrush. We'll just leave it there. So, Waldron and what he did last night was what had to happen for Nebraska. Nebraska jumped out and got the runs they needed. Erstad last night had there was a scary moment with Alex Henwood. And Henwood did a good job of you know, being able to track and make plays on those soft line drives hit to second base. But Henwood tried to make a play and dive back to the bag. And Henwood jacked his shoulder. Erstad was asked about that last night.
I don't know if I've ever cried on a baseball field, but I almost shed a tear when I literally watched his shoulder pop back into socket. I was disappointed that they didn't know who Mel Gibson was from Lethal Weapon, so they're going to have to Google that. So we had that one, and he literally said to me, he goes, Coach, he goes, there's nothing left in there anyway. I got to have surgery. I'm staying in the game. I just kind of smiled and walked away. So that's what it's all about with my kind of guys.
You know what? They are Darren Erstad type guys where they're going to grind, they're going to fight, they're going to give it their all. And it's been well documented. We might not be the prettiest ball team, but man, they're gritty. And I got to ask you, Colton, have you seen Lethal Weapon? Not the remake or the TV series. Have you seen any of the original Lethal Weapons?
I don't think so.
Okay. Did you get the Lethal Weapon Mel Gibson reference? It's okay to admit it.
I think it's beyond my years.
Well, clearly, it's 89 that. Mullets and toilets exploding. Elijah, yes or no? No on Lethal Weapon? Okay, so let me reset this for our younger audience. With the Lethal Weapon reference, it's great. So I think it was either Lethal Weapon 1 or 2, but Riggs is the character, and that's Mel Gibson's character. And Riggs was dating some German smoke show. Just gorgeous. And her drug trafficking boss found out and drowned her, all right? So Gibson was subdued by the Germans and was put in kind of a funny coat, right? Where your arms are lassoed tight and then he's thrown into the ocean. So there's no oxygen. He's going to drown. And Gibson's shoulder early in the movie would always pop out of socket. Okay. So Gibson would make money with other police officers saying, I bet you I can pop my shoulder back into place. And he was just a crazy Australian. So he'd just start jacking his shoulder against, you know, one of the door entries and he'd make $50 off his fellow police officers. Well, he was able to dislocate his shoulder and get out of the security coat and go kill the bad guys. So there is where Darren Erstad's coming from. Toughness to overcome a separated shoulder. Alex Henwood is a guy who had to continue to fight mentally as a player on Nebraska because it was just a tough career for him. And it's coming through. And he was kind of the spark with some of his bunts against Michigan. He's played a great second base. He's 285-ish, right? And he's done well. The thing that I want to say about Nebraska last night, and I know Minnesota's decent, but you know they need to win the whole bleeping thing to get to postseason play. Nebraska's getting group effort, okay? And we'll see what happens tonight. We'll see what happens tonight against Iowa. And Iowa's a team, it doesn't matter the sport. Iowa's a team Nebraska fans want to punch in the face and then help them up and then punch them in the face again. Because not everybody from Iowa is this way. Iowa Russ, dear friend, incredible dude. He's from near Iowa City. Great guy. Doesn't talk it. Doesn't rub it in with, you know, what Nebraska's had done to them by Iowa football. But Iowa baseball, man, I mean, you just go back to some of the questions heading into that Iowa series. You know, do you hate Iowa? Rivalry time. Mm-hmm. And you know, Erstad's beautiful, and I hate everybody. I want to win it all. So it'll be interesting with Nebraska how they come out. They're flying high. They're on such a momentum wave right now, and does that keep rolling, or does it stop and snap like it can in baseball? And it's totally an Iowa thing to do, to fade late and then go knock out Indiana last night like they did. With Nebraska baseball, what's going to happen moving forward with the top of the order? 1-3 last night for Nebraska was 0-12 with 6 strikeouts. But they also had 2 walks and were hit by a pitch. So there's 3 runs that came across. And I'll say this, Nebraska did well with 2 strike hitting and 2 out hitting. A number of the runs came in that way. So they're able to get it moving. They jumped out 8-1 and they were able to sit down 12 consecutive. Minnesota was able to sit down 12 consecutive Huskers, and Nebraska did get one more run. So Schwellenbach was money. That gapper busted the thing open. And Altavilla, can he stay hot? I hope so if you're Nebraska. Ndamukong Suh news. What'd we say? 9.2? That's the number for Suh. There is interesting here when you check in with some folks down in Tampa. They know Sue's a great player. You look at the comparison stats, and from a career tackle standpoint, I mean, Sue's a 2-1 production favorite over McCoy. They're right there when it comes to nearly 60 career sacks from an interior lineman position. I think that's a pretty remarkable number. If you're a defensive tackle or a nose guard and you end up with 5 sacks or more, that's incredible. ESPN.com kind of broke down how quickly guys get off blocks. Man, there's some backlash down in Tampa. Not only because McCoy was a guy that's perceived to be at one time elite, but a guy that spent his 9 seasons in Tampa, was phenomenal with outreach and charity, but he was damn good. I mean, he was 6 Pro Bowls. He was really good. He was an anchor. And do you get rid of a guy like that for a guy that some are questioning in Tampa? And Sue's got, I want to say, more of a reputation than baggage, okay?
Yeah.
But the reputation about what type of teammate is Suh, is he selfish? Is he a me guy? Is he going to be a team player? McCoy completely didn't care about his numbers and let his linebackers eat. He wanted his numbers, yeah, but he understood his job was to eat blocks. So there's some of that kind of seeping out in Tampa. Jason Light, a native Nebraskan, and the guys he signed via free agency, and I think it's DeSean Jackson, Light's like, look, I did not miss on the talent. I got great talent in here. I missed on the people. So you wonder if they're making a calculated risk, or if it's going to be a reward. Because you saw Suh kind of be a big brother to a guy. And Aaron Donald's phenomenal. So it's not right. Like Donald was needing a guy like Suh. Donald was producing before Suh got there. But you saw Suh kind of fit in because it was where a championship run could happen. He wants a ring. He's never won anything. From a standpoint of Tampa, though, I mean, is Tampa like knocking on that door to win a title? I mean, you have Jameis Winston. He's a freaking headache. He can be great, but he's a nightmare. Bruce Arians is kind of a no BS dude. Our buddy Lars Anderson did the biography with Coach Arians, and we'll see, I guess. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of dudes shipped off by Arians already. McCoy's one of them. Will this be a winner for Tampa? I think, despite Suh being a year older, I think Suh has less mileage on him. And I think Sue's a guy that culturally when you got leaders like Lavonte David on that team and some of the guys in the secondary, I don't worry about him. I think this is more of a business move. Last year was a chasing ring move, and that's okay. I mean, Sue made that defense phenomenal with Donald, but this is a Tampa seems like a good fit, and yeah, it's going to be a sweet tax situation. So I think that's why he went there versus a Seattle or a New England. And $9.2 million, we would take it is what I'm saying. So it's not all rosy in Tampa right now with some of the feedback with the Sue deal being announced. I think he'll work well. I think he'll play well. And, you know, Todd Bowles is the defensive coordinator. How many years has Sue wanted to play for that guy when he was in New York? He does. So the big thing with Sue is if you get him the right D coordinator, Wade Phillips, legend, worked out well. Schwartz was his head man in Detroit. It worked out phenomenally. And Bowles is the guy that Sue will play hard for. And when they had Vance Joseph, Sue kicked it and took names with Miami. When Vance left is when things kind of went to hell in Miami. We'll talk with Coach DiNardo next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Huskers in action tonight against Iowa, 9 o'clock. Weather permitting and assuming it starts on time, let's spend some time talking football. We welcome in with the Big Ten Network the coach, Jerry DiNardo. At Jerry DiNardo on Twitter is where you find him. Coach, thanks for a few minutes. How's your week been?
It's been good. How about you?
We're good, man. We're kind of in the midst of Big Ten baseball. We were up in Omaha to kick it off yesterday, and we're now down to 100 days, Coach, before college football cranks back up. So it is kind of talking season with schedules and off-season thoughts and projections. And I wanted to start real quick with a topic that was asked to Nebraska Athletic Director Bill Moose, and that is maybe having the conversation about allowing alcohol, beer, and wine in some of the suites and kind of the club seating region in Memorial Stadium at some point. I know there's only 5 schools in the Big Ten that don't allow it. Nebraska's one of them. I want to get your take on this, man, because you spent a lot of your years at Colorado and at LSU, both places that are known to be pretty raucous. And I know Colorado had beer for a long time and they have it again. But what's your take on it? As a head coach, you probably don't care, but you also want a kind of a 12th man atmosphere, I would assume. And do you have a thought or an opinion on alcohol in college football?
Well, I think it's like everything else in college football that, you know, this was at one point more of a academic enterprise, and I think we'd be foolish to think that it's not more of a business enterprise now than it has been in the past. And with that comes the salaries that we're seeing, the sponsorships that we're seeing. And I would think that no matter how much money everybody's making, an administrator always welcomes a way to make more money. And I think beer sales, and I think, you know, you take the Big Ten Network, I mean, advertising, they've never advertised or had arrangement with alcohol, beer, or whatever. I'm guessing they may be rethinking it as well. I mean, the facilities are fabulous, but they're expensive. And the student rights have increased, and that's expensive. I wouldn't see why somebody would argue against the beer sales. I don't think civility is the issue. I mean, I think people all over the country in different events go to sporting events and drink beer or alcohol.
Jerry DiNardo's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Jerry DiNardo on Twitter. Yeah, I mean, it's available. You go to a conference championship game, you go to an NCAA basketball tournament, and you go to a bowl game. I mean, you're buying probably a $12 beer by now, but you have the option to buy a $12 beer. It's, you know.
Well, what's the argument against it? I mean, really? What's the argument against?
The only, and I'm not against it. I think if you want to move forward with it, great. It comes down to liability and underage. I mean, do you just sell it in the club areas, or do you allow it all across the stadium? And that's a sticking point.
The age is a sticking point?
As far as underage. Underage kids not getting their hands on it.
Don't you have to present an ID when you buy it? I mean, it's no different than if you go into a liquor store with a false ID. I mean,
Right. No,
it's the world. I don't understand how that is a sticking point. I mean, we're never going to stop 100% of the people breaking the law. I mean, that's not going to happen.
No, I'm not arguing with you, Coach, at all. I understand. I'm just presenting the other side of it as far as, hey, do you limit it to, okay, you can only buy one beer per person versus a maximum of two or three, and do you sneak one back to a 19-year-old who can't handle them? You know what I mean? That type of thing. With Colorado, I mean, how did it work with when you were at CU with beer sales? I mean, was it a good thing? Was it a bad thing? Did you notice it?
Yeah, okay. The only thing that I remember, and I think you make a great point. I mean, Colorado was selling beer, I think, long before anybody else was in the stadium, and they shut it down, I think, at the end of the third quarter. And the only thing other than, you know, obviously if there's something going on in the stands, whether it's alcohol-related or not, the authorities go in there, someone's having a fight, and they split up. But I do remember this, you know, when we got really good, and I think we had to win a game, it may have been against Kansas State, to go to the Orange Bowl. Out of the student section, you know, there were frozen oranges being thrown on the field, and the support staff and the cheerleaders and everybody who didn't have a helmet on was at risk of really, you know, getting hurt. Mm. And although this happened when I was at coaching in Indiana, we played at Purdue, and there was no alcohol sold there, and they were throwing stuff at us. I actually walked out to the middle of the field to stop the game until the PA announcer told the Purdue fans to stop throwing stuff at us, because I was worried about our trainers and our young students that weren't athletes, but they were supporting us. Anyway, I say all that to say, I remember Colorado, after that game, they videoed the student section the next game. Or the next year, it may have been our last home game, to see that, you know, if it was students throwing things from the stands and it was partially because of the alcohol being sold, they wanted to stop it. That's the only thing I remember.
Yeah, and there's stories about people too tuned up and alcohol fueling that, and maybe alcohol wasn't fueling it. Maybe it was just irate fans and pick a fan base, right? Coach, I want to get your take on the approach by Fox and the prime time decision. Prime time will be at 11 o'clock Central, noon for Fox. That's the decision they're going with when they have first pick of games. Ohio State, Nebraska comes to my mind the end of September. And is that going to be a night game? Is it going to be a Fox or an FS1 production that's going to be an 11 o'clock kick? And, you know, I just think that from a recruiting standpoint, it kind of hampers some teams. If that's the big game you want to bring recruits in for and it's an 11 o'clock or a noon, it's difficult from a Nebraska standpoint. Overall, do you like having some of your marquee matchups that early in the day? And I ask this because you guys were great at LSU at night. You know what I mean? I mean, you had all day to get cranked up for it, and it's a different atmosphere at night versus the day.
Right, and so this was an issue when I was at LSU. And Joe Dean, the athletic director, when CBS would get the game and put it at 1 or 2 o'clock, you know, the fans would go crazy and protest and yell at Joe and blame the administration, and Joe would say, okay, I'll tell CBS to keep the $8 million and I'll ask them to put us on at 7 o'clock. I mean, Chris, to me, these things are nonsensical. Why is Fox putting on the game at 11, 1, 2, 5, or whatever? They're business. They're trying to make as much money as possible. this is about money. This is a business enterprise. This isn't about the fans. It isn't about the education. This is about making money. That's what college football is. It's a business enterprise. There's no argument against that when you look at where the money and how the money is being spent. So if a network can make more money televising a primetime game at 11 because they have another one in the middle window or whatever, they're going to do it. Fans might not like it, but fans have no control over this unless they want to give back all the money and tear down all the facilities.
Showcase-wise, you have the theory where, okay, so you have the CBS, usually Alabama or somebody of substance in the SEC at 2:30. Central time is what I'm going with. You're going to have your ESPN and Fox 6:30 or 7 kick, right? And then what's open is 11 o'clock. I mean, the other thought about this, yes, money, but the other two is when it comes to ability to promote and kind of go where the other guy isn't, why not own 11 or noon, see if that can work, right? I mean, there's a chance to own that 11 o'clock, and I think that's part of Fox's thinking as well.
As far as I could tell, for my entire life, college football is a regional sport, mm-hmm. okay? It doesn't matter when Alabama's playing if you live in Nebraska. And Alabama doesn't care. Alabama fans, they don't care about the Nebraska fans. I mean, it's regional. It's you're not competing. You know, the Big Ten is not competing with the SEC for fans. I mean, they're just not. It's a regional sport, and whatever time Nebraska plays, my guess is that stadium is going to be sold out. Mm-hmm. Some people are going to like the 11 o'clock. Some people aren't going to like them. It doesn't impact the recruiting. I mean, do you want a recruit that says, I don't want to go to that school, they play at 11 o'clock? Oh, that's a good reason not to go to a school.
I'm talking about getting them there by kickoff for an 11 o'clock kickoff.
Send the private plane. Send the private plane because you can afford a private plane because of these TV contracts. Did you see the revenues?
I saw the number, man. That's pretty nice.
You think? Okay. I mean, we're trying to fix something that's not broken. It's a business enterprise, and they're like Amazon. I mean, this is a rock'em sock'em business that's thriving.
It's doing well. Coach, you got about a minute and a half. Need to ask you, what's the next big thing facility-wise that is out there? You have indoor practice facilities. You have suites. You have, from an infrastructure standpoint, what's out there? What's the next wow thing a school is going to be the first to get?
You know, I think it's more to get something that someone else has. I can't think of anything that we don't have. Now, some schools don't have everything. So
right.
if you don't have the private dining hall, that, you know, that's really what you want. If you don't have the running pits in the weight room, or your weight room isn't the biggest. So I think it's more of, can we be bigger than you, and do we have everything you have? Everyone is missing a little bit of something. So I think the next thing is not a new thing. Can I be state-of-the-art in everything instead of state-of-the-art out of 12 of the most important 15 things?
Gotcha.
Now, I could be wrong. I mean, I'm sure someone could think of something that they want to invent or they need and all that. But to me, it's more, can I have the best of anything? Instead of just the best locker room, I want the best locker room and the best weight room. Instead of the best training table and not a good locker room, I want to be the best training table and the best locker room. I think that's the competition, not trying to think of something new, but I could be wrong.
Coach, awesome to get caught up. Thanks for the chat today.
You bet.
Take care.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's check in with part of the Sports Animal and News 9 in Oklahoma City, Dean Blevins with us, at Dean Blevins on Twitter. Dean, we talk sports, but thinking about you guys down in Oklahoma with all the storms, how you hanging in?
Well, it hasn't done much in Oklahoma City proper. I know we've given tons of coverage to it, but it's more outlying areas, and certainly those people need the coverage more than we do right now. So they are the ones that are of concern. I have some friends that have been had their homes flooded and flowed away. So it has been horrible, with more of it yet to come. But thank you for those words.
Dean, you had a great event that I know you were covering, Sooners Helping Sooners, earlier in the week, and saw that you had a chance to spend some time with Coach Switzer. And one of my favorite people, Mike Leach, the Pirate, had a sport coat on for the event. And I wanted to ask you about that 1999 staff, where you had Leach and Mangino, and it was year two for Stoops, and obviously you went on to win a national championship in 2000, but the staff that was there in 99 was something else, a bunch of characters. Was that the peak of entertainment? Great minds, fabulous coaches, but lots of different personalities.
Well, I think that's part of it, and I think you could probably look at maybe some of Bob Devaney's staffs and say the same thing. I don't know about Tom. I mean, I know some of those guys, McBride, who I follow you and Varsity, with having him on a lot. I know that some of those staffs had to be that way, although under Dr. Tom, it probably wasn't seen as much as it was down here with Coach Switzer and obviously with Bob Stoops' bunch in 99. Yeah, there were characters, but those guys that you're talking about, especially when you go throw in Mike Stoops, at that time, really, really good, fresh off of success at Kansas State, alongside the co-defensive coordinator, Brent Venables. I like to look at those young staffs like that as the most potent in college football, and that's how they're able to turn programs around, is you have guys that are 24/7 guys, meaning they're devoted to one another and making their product championship level by being together and working the job 24/7, whether it's over beers or over blackboards or over recruiting sessions. And they were at their peak, but a lot of fun. And the funny thing is, I don't know how well you guys know Bob Stoops, but Stoops is a much more fun-loving guy than he lets on.
I got to meet Coach Stoops at Media Days in 2000. It was a good time. We had a Bud Light. Always get a kick out of hearing Mike Leach stories and cleaning ladies scaring him every morning.
Hey, well, yeah, that is crazy. That's one of the things he talked about. And I know some other coaches under his tree have some similar habits. I mentioned Dana Holgorsen up at Oklahoma State for a few years there under Mike Gundy. Never bothered to live in housing. He lived in a motel. I don't think they have a hotel. Lived in a motel in Stillwater forever. But I tell you, and Mike Leach, I got to tell you a quick Leach story. When he first came to, I was doing college football for ABC, so I set up an appointment to go by his office and meet with him. Went in, and I could see he was real uncomfortable. And after about 2 or 3 minutes, he said, "Hey, man, I'd rather talk about this outside the office here." He looked out the window at O'Connell's Pub, was right around the corner. So we went to the tavern, and he immediately guzzled about 8 beers in 8 minutes. And within 15 minutes, he had the waitresses clear out one half of this bar and put chairs, set them up as defensive players and as wide receivers, and was using those to show me how the offense worked. I was shaking my head about what was coming to Oklahoma, but I knew that it was either going to be a genius hire by Stoops, or it was the dumbest thing that he or anyone else had ever done.
Dean Blevins with us, Hale Varsity Radio, News 9 Oklahoma, and, of course, the sports animal, at Dean Blevins on Twitter. I love talking Kevin Durant with you, and Paul George voted first team All-NBA over Durant. What's your reaction to that? What's your take on this Twitter war with Fox Sports and KD?
Well, I take it that KD, when he is so fragile and he's involved, Chris Broussard is probably the nicest and fairest journalist out there, and to be involved in a he said, she said with him over whether 5 hours of texting actually happened or not is probably the silliest thing I have ever seen. But I have to believe that when he saw the news today that he did not make All-NBA first team and that Paul George made it over, and this has to devastate the guy. He is is seriously just an unhappy, insecure person. So on a personal level, you have to feel for someone like that. But I think the rest of the world looks at it and says, how in the world are you unhappy being the greatest player on the earth and winning championships and MVPs and having more money than you'll ever spend? But it has to kill him, though, Chris, to answer your question specifically, that not only is he on second team, but the guy playing his position at his first team or franchise in Oklahoma City is the one that beat him out, and it was by a significant margin.
That's got to irk him. He is not going to be available for the first part of the NBA Finals. You know, I thought that KD was pretty major against the Rockets until they won without him, you know, in that pivotal game six.
Yeah.
Golden State's playing like the old Golden State again without him.
You know, I started to tweet the other night that once again, Golden State is my favorite team to watch play. When KD went there, they weren't. But before that, remember when that was the craze, and you were probably like me and a lot of your listeners when they first started that ran the ball up there, we would all say, hey, let's get home and watch Golden State.
Yes.
Every time they're on, let's watch them. They are so much fun to watch. And you can't deny KD's greatness, but I'll be darned if they're not as effective, arguably more so without him, and just the entertainment and sound basketball they play without him. I think it's completely freed up the rest of the guys, most specifically, Draymond in the middle.
Draymond's back to Draymond form. He showed a lot of leadership as his staff, and I like Clay a lot. I think he is fantastic on both ends. And
you know, President Trump gave the medal of whatever that honor was he gave to Tiger a few weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
That many people on one side of the aisle really just hated. I think that Trump needs to give Draymond Green's mother one of those. For getting him to shut up and play basketball. He's all of a sudden become a fantastic player, and it's easier to watch without him being the referees every whistle.
It's much easier to watch, and you've seen better late than never with the maturity side of Draymond. Dean Blevins with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Dean, we'll let you get to it. Thanks for jumping on with us, and thanks for making the time. Always love catching up.
Sounds good, and let's do that soon.
We'll do that, Dean. Thanks again.
You bet, bud.
Dean Blevins, News 9, Oklahoma City, and you heard the reception there. I mean, it's just been brutal storm-wise, tornado-wise, down in Oklahoma, Missouri, Iowa, parts of the Midwest, and flooding taking over. So wanted to get his take on that staff. The story of Leach wanting to do the sit-down on his offense in a bar room. We'll have to get the Pirate on next week and dive a little further into that. We'll wind down hour one. Good stuff from Coach DiNardo, Dean Blevins. Brandon Vogel's coming up with Hail Varsity Radio.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
One final time this hour, and big thanks to Coach DiNardo and, yes, Dean Blevins. 10 minutes away from Brandon Vogel, a little drink of the week, a little barbecue, a little Nebraska, and then it's Barney time at 525. Coach Gary Barnett going to join us, 466-377-6800-825-5865. So a note from Evan Bland from the World Herald does Nebraska baseball, and I have not looked at the Omaha forecast. We just had a ton of rain come through eastern Nebraska where we're located. So if you have delays with Nebraska, I should say with Maryland, Ohio State, and the game ends after 10 p.m., Big Ten rule says you can't start a game after 11. So maybe you shift things. It's interesting, as crummy as the weather's supposed to be this weekend, you got to find a way to get him in so Selection Sunday is, or Monday rather, is not altered for the NCAA baseball tournament. Reminder about buckling up. Motion and airbags, very key to keeping you alive. And sometimes airbags aren't enough. The seatbelt is. It prevents excessive injury when you and your vehicle and body need to stop and slow down. That applies to the driver's seat, back seat, or passenger seat. Buckle up now. Click it or tick it. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. Talked with Dean Blevins, all NBA. Paul George over Kevin Durant. Paul George was phenomenal this year for Oklahoma City. I don't have a problem with that. Klay Thompson, where are you guys at on Klay Thompson? Like afterthought or dude's phenomenal, gets no due. And he didn't even make third team. And that affects his contract by up to $30 million. And I think Klay Thompson's arguably a top five both-way player. I mean, I put his defense right there. He's not as good as Kawhi defensively. Kawhi's just quicker. But Klay's awesome. I mean, and Klay Thompson was asked about that today as Golden State's practicing, getting ready, waiting for Milwaukee-Toronto to finish.
Oh, I did it? They already came out?
Yeah, it came out today. You were, like, right behind Beal. We got, or no, right behind, we got 13. Kyrie.
But you barely, yeah, Kemba. Kemba got it. You were a couple.
I mean, that's cool and all, but, like, when you go to five straight finals, I respect those guys, but holy, when you go to five straight, I mean, it takes more than just a couple of NBA guys. It's like an all-time team, but whatever. That's not, I'd rather win a championship than be 13 on NBA, so it's all good.
Do you not like that affects potential contract statuses, you know, all NBA stuff, because that would have elevated you.
Yeah. It is what it is, you know. I can't control it. Do I think there's that many guards better than me in the league? No, but that's the reason why we're still playing, so I don't even want to get into it, honestly.
Clay, how are you able to roll that off your back? Even, I mean, there's...
So his response was calm. He was ticked off, a little bit enraged, but he's so mellow that his like, seven level of ticked offness is... Everyone else is too. So you had Harden, Giannis, Paul George, Curry, and Jokic. First team. Dame, Kyrie, Durant, Kawhi, Joel Embiid is second team. Westbrook, Kemba Walker, Blake Griffin, and Gobert at center. That's your third team. Klay belongs on that third team at minimum.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, it's Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, Elijah taking notes feverishly on what not to do and what to do. Great stuff from Coach DiNardo. Offended about the 11 o'clock kickoff time. Not blasting me, per se, but he's right. It's about money. It's just hard to swallow your marquee game as a network at 11 o'clock. We hadn't talked to Uncle Jerry in a while, so we had to ask him about that. Coach Barnett is coming up in 20 minutes. We say hi to a guy that's been in the college football bunker. I mean, he has been getting it ready. Team previews, profiles, the Hail Varsity yearbook will be exquisite yet again. We welcome in Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, are you going to have any time to enjoy the holiday weekend, my friend? Are you still, I mean, are you still in that windowless room in the basement crushing out incredible football goodness? How are you?
I'm well. Good news is that the room has windows. The bad news is that, no, I'm not really planning anything else besides trying to finish these Big Ten East previews, Big Ten West, and non-conference opponents, however, are done.
Okay, so we can talk this out on air, not unless they're already done. We can just go therapy here. And Ohio State will take a step back. Sparty will be better. Michigan will deliver finally. And Penn State will continue to slide a little bit. But they're still Penn State, so we're talking 9-4, right? With the West, Purdue will be down because they lost a lot. Nebraska will be better, but probably not quite ready. Iowa will blow off their own pinky toe, and Wisconsin will find a way to come back with a vengeance. Northwestern will be the typical 7-5 pain. Good?
Yeah, feels about right. You know, the East is interesting because what do you do with those two, Ohio State and Penn State? Like, Michigan should be like, this is its chance to make a move here a little bit, and Michigan State, for the second year in a row, returns a ton of experience and just got a pretty big transfer in terms of a wide receiver from Western Michigan today. So it's
give me the lowdown on that. What happened with Michigan? What happened?
Oh, no, Michigan State. Gotcha. I'm forgetting the guy's name, but wide receiver from Western Michigan, also a pretty good punt returner. I just saw on Twitter that he had committed to Michigan State, which for a team that was a big question a year ago. They didn't make any changes on the offensive side besides shuffling the coaching duties. You know, an explosive sort of wide receiver like that, what we've seen the impact that can have on Michigan State in the past, which plays things pretty in close quarters most of the time, but loves to play action you and just throw a trick play or two at you and hit you for that deep game.
Brandon Vogel's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. He is working on the Big Ten preview, the part of Hail Varsity's yearbook that'll be out. Do we have a date, Vogues?
It'll be middle of June. It goes to press that second week of June. But it's a big book that nearly 200 pages, so it takes a little bit longer to print than our typical 64 page issue. So
I can't
know exact date, but right around then.
Okay, middle of June, holding my breath. So your hot reads today touched on the love Texas is getting, and Nebraska where they're projected, and Sam Ellinger was phenomenal last year with rushing and passing touchdowns. And the fact they beat Georgia shocked me, still shocks me. They went 1-1 against Oklahoma. And our old friends from the Sporting Nudes Sporting News. The Sporting News has the Longhorns in the Fiesta Bowl against Clemson. Is that to get attention, or do they believe it? And everyone's entitled to their own opinion. I mean, I need more for me to say, yep, Texas is back, and I'm still pissed about 1999, so I'll never happily say, yeah, Texas is a good football team.
Yeah, one of the things with college football is that a consensus pretty rapidly forms. So here in preview season, you know, you see these, all of the projections and predictions really roll out, and there's not a whole lot of variety. So I'll give Sporting News credit for at least making the bold claim that Texas will be in the playoff. It's a program that, you know, grabs your attention. Texas is back. It's kind of a running joke on Twitter. So you can play off of that a little bit too, but you know, ESPN's FPI gave Texas less than a 1% chance to make it, which isn't to say that that's the gospel truth either, but it is to say that UCLA was given at least a 1% chance. So you could, based on FPI's evaluation of these teams, predict the Bruins to be in the college football playoff. But I don't think anybody's going to do that. Texas is going to be good. Are they going to be Big 12 champs? Potential playoff team? No, I don't think so. They kind of got to 10 wins in ways that are difficult to explain on paper a year removed from it. But Hattie Ellinger is a big deal. He's a little Tebow-esque and, well, kind of what they asked him to do. There were a lot of times last year where the handoff run game wasn't working. They're like, hey, could you go win this for us? And he did. So having him back is a big part of it. They just lose a lot. From a team that wasn't quite 10 wins good a year ago, but was still pretty good. So they're not going to fall far, but they're not going to Phoenix to play Clemson in the Fiesta Bowl either.
Vogues, what do you see about Nebraska? Where are they supposed to go bowl-wise? And that'll be nice because it's taken for granted. It's been 2 years since – 3 years since Nebraska has been to a bowl game, man.
Yeah, so I think at this point I've seen the Gator, the Citrus, and the Holiday Bowl. So that's, you know, that's kind of your maybe make it to Indianapolis and lose, depending on what your record is there. You know, it's the kind of upper part of the Big Ten tier of bowl games, depending on where you go. So two of the previews that I've looked at so far, I think Athlon and Street and Smith, have both had Nebraska winning the West. In fact, I think, you know, by the time we get to next fall, that will kind of be the consensus in a jumbled West division based on how things are trending right now. You could pick one from any probably four, certainly, maybe five teams to win that division. And so far, the two that I've looked at, which I'm not saying is a representative sample, but the two that I've looked at have both had Nebraska there. And you can make that argument, I think, based on a couple of things.
You know, when it comes to Nebraska and where they end up this year, and Vogues, I'm as guilty as the next guy that just I'm going to clap my hands and Nebraska will be back to 9 or 10 wins and going to conference championship games and winning conference championship games. And pretty soon the fan base will be like, well, dude, the Gator Bowl or the Holiday Bowl or the Citrus Bowl sucks. If you get there to the New Year's Day 6 soon enough, I mean, that's it's like, oh, well, yeah, it's supposed to happen like that. Well, it's going to take a ton of work to get it there. Yeah. And I think Frost and his staff are ready for that, and they're in the process of doing that. With Nebraska, what is your biggest objection right now with this team? Not to pile on or pick at, but really, what's a question or two you have that will keep them from even a, hey, 9-3 is not bad? I mean, what could keep them from that 8-9 win number?
Yeah, I think I think the offense is going to improve. The biggest questions for me are on that side, particularly when you look at wide receiver. And, you know, I think Nebraska has some options there. There's a lot of kind of developing the whole passing attack that needs to happen. And when you look at Adrian Martinez, you know, should be better in year two. Like, quarterbacks don't ever kind of just go, well, I was this good in year one, I'll be this good in year two. It's not that linear, but usually they make a pretty big jump year one to year two. One of the things that can kind of dial that back a little bit is Adrian Martinez having to throw to, you know, a pretty new set of wide receivers. And I think the talent is there that could become one of those concerns that was, you know, at least legitimate to look at in the offseason before you knew anything. But became not a problem as you got into the season. But until you get there, you don't know. And running back's a little bit the same. You know, if you were to look at just the skill position groups on offense compared to last year, well, quarterback, you start out at a higher level than a year ago. But would you say the same about running back or wide receiver? I don't know if you can, or at least when I look at those groups, I don't. And I think that's reason to kind of pause and say, yeah, I think the offense – should be capable of more in 2019, but just how much more might determine on some guys you haven't seen play a whole lot yet.
Well, and are you going to get guys to step up and play like Ziggy, or are guys going to be kind of hit or miss? Like, I mean, you've been waiting on Woodyard for a while, right? Or on McQuitty, just two names that are you're waiting emergence from. Brandon Vogels with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Vogels, we had a lightning delay at the Big Ten baseball tournament, so that may or may not impact Nebraska tonight. I mean, maybe they get their game in tonight, maybe they don't, maybe it's shifted to tomorrow. All that being said, what are your thoughts on last night's performance by Erstad's crew?
Well, it was a little strange how how it happened, you know, at one point you look up Nebraska, you know, early in that game, Nebraska's got 8 runs on 4 hits, and then Minnesota kind of settled in and the bullpen kind of held Nebraska in check. So it wasn't your kind of conventional come out, get a lead and continue building it. You know, there was a little bit of strange things at work, but hey, you'll take it at this point in the season. You just got to win and get into that winner's bracket, and tournament play really helps. And when you look at the potential of maybe not getting tonight's game in, if that happens, then if you lose tomorrow, you're playing twice. So things kind of stack up to you. So even if this win wasn't kind of Nebraska coming out and dominating, it got the win nonetheless. So you'll take that at this point in the postseason.
Vogues, you're going to talk to Barnett here coming up, and we'll get into some Colorado-Nebraska stuff. I think of Colorado, and I think of beer sales, and I think of Sam and Moose's discussion, and we kind of went round and round with it yesterday, and we got Coach DiNardo's thoughts on it. Where are you at with it? I'm all right with it. I don't worry about it. I think folks will be responsible. I know there's a liability side of things you can worry about, but it shouldn't be something that you just don't talk about. It's another revenue stream.
Yeah, it is. And I think, like, it will be talked about at that point. You know, Nebraska's unique in some regards in that it's going to have its games sold out. It's not competing, at least in the way a lot of other teams are, to get people off their couch and out from in front of their flat screen and into the stadium. So, you know, that helps a little bit in terms of, well, I guess helps is the wrong word, but maybe it lessens the impact. You don't need that beer money. But if it's out there, you have to consider getting it. I don't feel strongly one way or the other of, you know, if there's beer and wine in Memorial Stadium at some point, totally fine with that. If there's not, also totally fine with that. Like, a lot of the Big Ten teams have it at this point, and I don't think I've ever gone sort of on the road and thought, oh, wow, this place is really tuned up just because it had beer or wine in stadium, had that available. So I think it's usually a pretty small deal one way or the other, but it's one of those things that always comes up as more and more teams add it.
I've got about 45 seconds. What's the most hostile place you've been to?
You know, Wisconsin,
that's what Babber said.
that first Nebraska-Wisconsin game, you know, Nebraska's first Big Ten road game, that one was up there. When Nebraska went down to Miami, when, you know, neither of those teams were great at that point, but that was one where you did feel like, oh, okay, this place is tuned up a little bit. Obviously a pro stadium. And I don't recall if they had alcohol sales in the stadium for that game or not, or if it was just Miami fans being Miami fans. But that was one where you're like, oh yeah, this is a little bit nasty as Nebraska kind of rallied to force overtime in that game.
Yeah. The U has got a little swag. Pick a trip to Boulder, it feels like, over the years. So, Brandon Vogel with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Incredible yearbook coming out with Hail Varsity, your college football Bible. That'll be awesome. Bogues is working hard on that. And so many awesome features. Can subscribe, 855-3-HUSKER. Or log on, HailVarsity.com/subscribe. Get the print and digital. You'll be a happy football fan this fall with it. Vogues, we'll talk to you next time. Thanks for the time today.
All right, thank you.
All right, there he is, Brandon Vogel, joining us, Hail Varsity Radio. Gary Barnett, the coach, will interrupt his putting next. Hail Varsity continues.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
We'll keep you posted on the Big Ten baseball tournament when play resumes. They reset that thing every time there's lightning. And you wait, what, 30 minutes per lightning strike? Something like that. Colton says, don't ask me. I don't know. I know if there was lightning in the area and he was still putting on fire, he may stick it out. We say hi to the coach, Gary Barnett. Coach, how's the golf season been for you?
You know, Chris, it's got a little bit better towards the end, and now I'm back in Oakland and have 5 straight days of rain, so I don't have to do a lookout at the golf course, so I haven't been able to hit a ball. So, oh well, you know, I'm sure it'll get sunny and bright here someday.
What do you do with yourself when you're not able to play golf?
That is one heck of a question. you know, because we just transitioned back, I got a lot of things to do around the house and unload and unpack cars and that kind of stuff. And then I'm involved with a charity foundation that all of the former players at CU are a part of. And we have our once a year big fundraiser coming up, and I'm on that board. So I have a bunch of responsibilities. So I actually can get a lot done during the day that I normally would have to rush out in the morning or rush out in the evening. So I'm making the best of it.
That is good to hear. Excited to have Gary Barnett with us, Hail Varsity Radio. So, Coach, I got to ask you, and there's just been – we can't wait for college football to get here. Obviously, 100 days, but who's counting? And there's already buzz and fervor and excitement for Colorado. Whether you like it or not, we're coming out to see you that second week. So, and that's not a Nebraska thing. I'm sure I'll be asking you and pestering you to go golf on Friday. But I want to know where you're at with this game with Nebraska, Colorado. Is it just kind of a measuring stick for Nebraska? Is it an opportunity for a new coach at Colorado? From an importance level, what do you place on the game?
Well, I place a lot more importance on Nebraska, the game for Nebraska, than I do for Colorado, because there has been a coaching change. But that's more to do with the two coaches. You know, okay. I think that it's a huge game for you guys, and Scott, just because of the way they lost last year and the way the season started and what, how it ended up, just a non-conference win away in a pretty hostile environment here in Boulder for the first time in a while. I think it's really important for them to win this game. Now, I'll tell you what, the new guy here, he ain't going back down. I mean, if you think he's just going to say, oh, okay, well, this is their first year and we'll just see what happens, he's not going to be that way. So he's going to get into it. Once he realizes, he gets into that week or 2 weeks before, probably in August it'll start here for him. You know, I'm sure he sort of hasn't paid much attention to all the stuff that's been out there so far, but he will. And then it becomes just a huge opportunity for Colorado. But for Nebraska, I think this is just a huge game for them to start off the second season for Scott Frost. But Mel Tucker ain't going to back down, and they're going to be a much more physical team than they were last year. They've got all their skill back for the most part. You know, I think they've got a real chance to be good offensively. Defensively is where I don't think anybody knows what this team is going to be like and what they're going to do. So, you know, this could be a shootout, you know, much like last year was, but it'll start festering around here pretty soon.
Well, and there's, you can't go a week without something coming up about it, be it ticket sales or folks that we know around here that are becoming Buff season ticket holders for the year and finding their way out to Colorado. I want to get your thoughts on the Big Ten. And I was watching the Big Ten Network this week, and they had your documentary on with your 95 Wildcats taking the Purple to Pasadena. I really enjoyed it. I saw it before, but I hadn't seen it in a while. And it touched on when you got to Northwestern and then how you grew the program and Coach Fitzgerald and that special team you had. And I'm wondering who's ready to make a move in the Big Ten this year. Do you sense the Big Ten kind of still be in the Big Ten, or is there an opportunity for some teams to maybe climb their way up?
Well, I still think there's three teams that everybody's – four teams that everybody's going to have to find a way to beat. And the two Michigan teams, Penn State and Ohio State. Mm-hmm. And I think Minnesota is going to be closer than they have been. I think Nebraska is going to be closer. I think it's obvious Purdue is going to be a little bit closer. You know, and after that, Wisconsin is a team that really has the capacity of being in there. But I really sort of see it's still those four teams and everybody else trying to work into that group. And so you were talking about that team and that documentary. We had a get-together in Chicago a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
We had a golf outing and had all those guys, had a lot of guys back. And I had a bunch of guys from Colorado come out because we're doing sort of a home-and-home game between my players at Northwestern and at Colorado. And it was so cool. I got the chance to introduce each group to everybody. And it was just, you know, with a group of guys that were there when I first got there and had to live through the toughening up and the changes that we made, the guys that we recruited, all the people that helped us get along there, administrators and people like that, friends that kept us from getting discouraged and going home. And then they got to meet Colorado players much the same way. So it was really a fun event.
Coach, there's a lot to take away from the documentary, but watching you on camera as you're coming home after Michigan beats Ohio State and, what, fans threw roses on your doorstep?
Yeah, on the yard and the doorstep,
yeah.
And the whole yard was covered with roses. So, and I had no idea, Chris. I mean, I had no idea.
No, I know. I just looking at your
game meant to so many people. So.
Well, no, but that's. I mean, just seeing your reaction like that was incredible. Where,
yeah,
you're just rolling home. Hey, we're going to the Rose Bowl after resurrecting this program, and I mean, it had really never enjoyed success since the Johnny Rogers era, right? So, I mean, what you did was incredible, and then you come home, and then there's that. That's really special. That's pretty cool. Gary Barnett's with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Coach PJ Fleck in the news, footballscoop.com, kind of retweeting today Fleck's interview with the Star Tribune in Minneapolis when it comes to recruiting and his stance on recruiting. If you commit, you commit. You can't visit elsewhere. That's where he's at. I know that's Iowa's stance. I haven't really talked or asked Coach Frost about it. Nebraska's done a really good job of recruiting, so it's not been something that's come up where other guys are looking around. What was your stance with recruiting? Could guys, if they air quote, verbally committed to you and still had a visit or two left, were you okay with them still visiting, or did you ask them to shut it down?
No, we pretty much asked them to shut it down. You know, we looked at it as an engagement, and we just said, look, it's okay if you want to break the engagement, but that means we get to break it too. And that's just the way it is. Now, there's some people on my staff that might say, well, it depends on how good a player he is, but I don't think that was true. I think you had to do and say anything you could to avoid them taking another visit. And it wasn't so much that you were afraid of whoever they were going to go visit, but some kids just, they're wherever the last place they visit, that's where they end up being influenced and deciding to go. So you're trying to avoid that scenario. And a lot of it comes down to what their parents, you know, what the role with the parents is, you know, how strong the parents are in the home. Because when they make that commitment, one of the things you do is you get on the phone with mom and dad and you say, or mom and dad, or one of the two, and just say, you know what this means, or you're going to support us in this. And, you know, if there's any glimpse that maybe they're not, they're going to, you know, you don't take it as seriously as you want to take it. So, but you let them know that it goes both ways.
Sure. Coach, last thought here, and appreciate your time. It's great to get caught up. How does your old buddy Les Miles do? What's going through his mind right now, if you can project, at Kansas as he's back in coaching? And Mack Brown, a guy you know well, also back in action at North Carolina. What do you What do you think about both of these guys back in the game and back at it after some time away?
It's a rebirth. I mean, they are re-energized. You know, Kansas is coming up with a lot of money for less. I mean, a lot of money for additional assistants, interns, analysts, that kind of thing. And everybody is pretty excited. He had a heck of a running back in that program that was just a freshman.
Yeah.
His style of ball, that really matches it. But Les is really excited. And he's going into the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame, and his wife invited me to go, and I'm trying to figure out if I could work it to go see him. But, and then Max the same way. You know, you just miss it when you get out, and you just wish you had another chance. Well, guess what? They got what they wished for, and I think it'll re-energize both of them a lot.
Carolina's always been a place where it's just very fertile recruiting-wise. He's won there before, obviously. I mean, he had a top-five program there. You can win at Kansas, too. And I think Les will get KU rolling again. I think they'll be – KU's not that far removed from being pretty high level. We got about 30 seconds. I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, do you think they can get it turned around?
Yeah, I think David Beatty did a great job. He had to rebuild that whole thing. And, you know, I was sad to see him go because he won three or four big games this year and played everybody tough. And I thought he had deserved a chance to go on. But I understand, new AD, new coach. So Les has got a better team than anybody knows. I agree with you.
Okay. Hey, Coach, enjoy your summer. We'll run you down again soon and make it stop raining in Boulder so you can swing the clubs, okay?
I'm going to build an arc. So. Talk to you later, Chris.
See you. Take care. I want to ask him if he's got a couple buffalo on the arc. That's pretty good. Good stuff from Coach Gary Barnett. Love talking college football with him. We'll keep rolling here on a Thursday with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HailVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Colton Stone, Chris Schmidt, Elijah is engaged. It's like, maybe, in the program. I don't think he's offered anybody, like Coach Barnett was talking about. Recruiting's like an engagement. I needed to see Deb the Spa Lady something fierce Sunday morning, Monday morning, Tuesday morning after lifting weights. I needed relaxation. I needed therapy physically. And if you're working out and maybe you're just stressed, whatever the case, no time like now to visit Deb the Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spas. Deb, last time we talked to you, it was a road trip. I don't know if it was Smokey and the Bandit, but you guys, you delivered, man. How was it?
We got it in just in the nick of time. It was beautiful that Friday, and then it started to rain. And I think it's been raining ever since. So we really did. It was perfect timing. So, yeah, we got back to Lincoln, and now we're busy delivering here in town because everybody wants their spa in time for Memorial Weekend. That's kind of the official kickoff to summer. And, of course, you know, you're in your backyard. You're having family, friends over. What better way to enjoy that time than in a hot tub?
You know, it is so much fun, family fun, and fun with the neighbors. You name it. And it is a situation where it's so beneficial. And it can be all times a year, Deb, because you can get a spa and it doesn't have to be 1,000 degrees. You can turn it to the temp you want to cool you down all summer.
It doesn't have to be a hot tub.
Right.
You can cool it down. You can use the swim spas as a pool in the summer. So turn that temperature down, turn it back up when it gets cold out. And the same thing with all the spas. They're all adjustable. So you make the decision as to how warm on it.
Deb the Spa Lady's with us. Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln and off Industrial Road in Omaha. Spasonline.com. Deb, what are your holiday weekend hours looking like? If folks, they have time, they got a little downtime, and they want to make that purchase. They want to get a swim spa. They want to get a two-seater. They want to get a four-seater. Whatever the case, you have a size and color for everybody. When can they come find you this weekend?
Come see us Friday, 10 to 6. We'll be here also on Saturday from 10 to 4. So a couple days yet before the holiday, so come on in.
Okay, Deb, that'll be awesome. I'm heading to Kansas City Saturday to see the Royals and Yankees.
And, oh, fun.
Yeah, and then we'll be by to see you for sure. And thanks so much. And let me know, we need another road trip live report from Deb the Spa Lady on a road trip. So we'll do that again.
That sounds like a good plan. I'll let you know where I'm headed next.
That is good. Deb, take care. Thanks so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. That is Deb the Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spa, Spa Lady Thursdays. We love it. And you know what? Got a buddy who got a spa from Deb the Spa Lady. And I'm a little hurt. He's not invited me and the missus over to use it. Now, I'd wear a shirt. You wouldn't have to ask. That'd be uncomfortable. Hey, Colton. Hey, Elijah. Can you guys come over and you want to sit in the hot tub with me? And they blink and just, they're frightened. But if I say you can keep your shirt on, there's a little bit of ease into it.
I'd think about it.
I wouldn't invite either of you. You're both nice dudes, but I don't care if you're coming over or not. I'm not inviting you to hang out in the hot tub. My wife's allergic to water. She's like a freaking gremlin.
I've always thought of that idea. You know how like you say, oh, I've got a hot tub. Let's bring a bunch of people over. That to me has always been not like a foreign concept, but I'm like, I don't want more than maybe like three or four people in there to begin with,
Let's just be straight. You want the right three or four people.
That's what I mean. Like, yeah, you don't want it to be a situation where it's like you and eight of your frat brothers. And it's like, no, I'll just stay inside. I'll be all right. The beer's cold in here, too.
Yeah, Colton, so. You just painted that picture. You and eight of your bros. No, thank you. No, thank you. Can't do it. Let's spend some time on Roger Goodell. And there was a story earlier this week. We never got to, but it's about the NFL and medical marijuana and just marijuana use in general by players. And you've got the NFL and the NFL PA, Players Association, working together just to do some more research, to take a look and investigate what is the right thing to do for marijuana and more so mental hurdles guys in the NFL have to deal with, stress and CTE. Let's not BS. I mean, you've got concussions and injuries and pain. You just don't feel good, and that has ruined people's lives, okay? It's been your choice to play ball, but the repercussions from playing ball have been very dangerous and disastrous for many, many players. You also have pain management here. And you have an opioid crisis in this country where folks are reaching for Percocets, Oxy, whatever, and you get hooked on them. You get hooked on them. Chris Long was with Dan Patrick today, and Chris is like, look, man, you've got one test a year you got to pass in the NFL, and then guys smoke, and I smoked a lot, and it's better than drinking a fifth of bourbon. It's better than or medicating with alcohol. It's better than not being able to manage my pain. And what happens if you go to a club, you get a DUI, you get into an altercation? I mean, all the negative effects of alcohol. And there are. Weed isn't a walk in the park either, okay? Weed's a situation where guys, from a motivational standpoint and just a mental addiction standpoint, it's a drug. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a safer choice than the opioids, obviously. Is it safer than alcohol? You know, we can arm wrestle on that. I think it should be an option on the table for guys. Mm-hmm. And I know it's legal in half the states, and you run into problems in the state of Texas and some other communities where it's illegal in the states for the NFL. But here's Roger Goodell. He was asked about it today. About, you know, is the NFL leaning to being more hands-off? The other part of this, too, is how many guys from the NFL migrate to the XFL, where their drug policy is not going to include marijuana in testing. Right now, marijuana is classified as a street drug. So you get busted for it as bad as, say, doing cocaine or PCP or whatever the hell else is deadly. Here is Roger Goodell.
What's the status?
No, Ben, it's much broader than that. And it's issues that we've been working on for quite a while, which is there are a lot of alternative pain medications and treatments. And those are the types of things that we want this committee to focus on, with medical experts and with medical science behind that. Of course, they will look at one of those is what role medical marijuana can have in that. That's something that will be part of their studies, but it is much broader than that.
Cannabis oil and the stuff without the THC in it, I don't take it. I know people who do, and that has helped their pain management. The question is, will guys abuse it recreationally? Go from management to recreational use.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time on your Thursday. Big thanks to Coach DiNardo and Gary Barnett and Brandon Vogel and Dean Blevins today. Tomorrow on the show, Parker Gabriel going to be with us. The Pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman. Burke's Best Bets, the Pride of Chicago's Danny Burke, and he'll have more wisdom for us from Las Vegas. And Greg Smith, how about a recruiting hit to round out your week? Coach Tony Tuioti loves to fly, and it shows, man. I mean, he is everywhere on the trail. Good enough. We'll keep you posted on Husker baseball if and when they get things rolling tonight or if they're playing tomorrow. But you got to love where Nebraska's at with Erstad and their crew. We spent some time talking Nebraska baseball, and we got into some of the offseason topics. Love what Coach Barnett had to say about the Big Ten and if there's maybe some uprising that could go on. And he's like, hey, it's kind of the same old. So good take from him. Loved his thoughts on Nebraska and Colorado. Just the magnitude of that game is we're 100 days out and just how it continues to kind of grow and grow and grow. Reminder about Sauter Heyman. Get down and see Rick as they have interest-free financing options available. And treat yourself, man, if you're a dad or a grad. They have in-store coupons. You spend $350 or more. Can go to Sauter Heyman through June 16th and get $75 off that purchase. $350 or more, get $75 off. That's a hell of a deal. And what you can do is find Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman at 12th and O, downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln Route West in Grand Island, and can log on SauterHeyman.com. Does Milwaukee get righted tonight? Or is Toronto able to keep their winning ways? What are we at? 2-1? 2-2? We're 2-2 now, aren't we?
Yeah, it should be all locked at 2.
So it's back in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
Back at Fiserv Arena. I think Milwaukee's going to pound them.
I go back and forth in this series because I love Giannis, and I love like just how Milwaukee plays, but I almost think, I mean, neither of these teams are going more than 5 games with Golden State. That I'll throw that out there.
I think you're – no, dude. Golden State, especially if Durant's like, hey, you go sit over there, dude.
Right.
Right.
So I almost think Toronto with Kawhi matches up better with Golden State because of the way he plays both sides.
But I think the matchup – I think Toronto's a better – it's not neither or good.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think
– it'd be more fun.
I think Toronto be –
I don't know.
That's not nice to pound Milwaukee with, that they're just not fun. They are. They're great.
They are.
Giannis is awesome.
Yeah.
I think they're kind of more old school as far as how big and rough and tough as they are. And the thing that's cool about Milwaukee, too, is, I mean, they led the NBA with 3-point assists. I mean, they were so good at inside out. Yeah, I love seeing that. We'll see. I think Milwaukee gets it. I think this series going 7. That's what's going to happen.
I think that's, and then one of the teams is just going to be not worn out when they go into Golden State, but.
Golden State, am I wrong, fellas? They are okay to watch again.
Yeah.
Without Durant.
Yeah, I think so.
Because that's what went from, like, you had fatigue from Golden State, and it went to, I hate Golden State now, and now they have Durant. Eh. We'll be back tomorrow at 4. Get the podcast, HailVarsity.com or iTunes. Thanks for tuning in. See ya.